When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. If you want to hit us on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. That's how you get in touch with us. Power ranking of the power rankings. Very interested to see what the experts think of the Houston Texans. They have risen as high as the third or fourth best team in the league, according to these four outlets that we subscribe to here. And
we were skeptical of those at the time, because that was when we were still in the midst of, as the Texans jumped out to their healthy record, they were playing like a 500 football team in a lot of ways. We felt like the people that were putting them third or fourth in the league just really weren't watching the Texans.
No, games. And all you had to do is look at their point differential and say they're 6-4 with a negative point differential right now.
Dude, this is crazy. Jeremy Branham had tweeted this out yesterday, and it tells. I mean, so they're -2 in point differential on the season right now.
Yep,
they're right there. They're a 500 football team in a lot of regards. They are +57 in the first half of games.
Yeah,
-59 in the second half.
I mean,
it's stark as it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. If they just played to draws in the second half of games, they'd have a really, really healthy scoring margin right now. But they completely fall apart in the second half.
+57. I mean, if you just take that and double it, right? If they played the same, if they took the way they played in the first half of games and played that way entire games, they're the Detroit Lions. You know, the Detroit Lions' point differential, if I'm not mistaken, is +113. I think it was +110 going into the game this weekend.
So if you played that same way that you do at +57 in the first half,
you're the Lions.
114, and
you're the Lions. Yeah, so it matters. You know, that's why the whole a win is a win thing is true. Like, nobody, you know, unless you get down to the sixth or seventh tiebreaker, your net scoring shouldn't come back to bite you. It is a tiebreaker eventually. Like, if you're tied, eventually it does get down to your point differential in certain games, But yeah, man, like it is a forecast. It is a harbinger for what type of team you are.
Yeah, it's really, if you look at, like, where are the Texans right now? They're at -2. So the Falcons are a +2 differential. The Seahawks are a -11 differential. Those are who you're sandwiched in between.
Well, let's find out. Let's find out. Let's look at these power rankings. And we'll start, we power rank these power rankings. The ones we go to are The Athletic, ESPN, CBS, and SI.com. Those four. Fourth on the power ranking of the power rankings is CBSSports.com. They've got the Texans at 14th in the league right now. This is as low as they've been all year on any of these power rankings. 14th, still in the upper half, still on the fringe of the playoffs here. And it says this, Pete Prisco, at 6-4, they have to be thankful the division isn't good. They will win it, but they have to get back on track and start winning some games. All true, I would say.
All true. And likewise, a lot of the things you could say about the Falcons or any team that's in the NFC South perennially, depending on what the Bucs actually are as a football team. At the very least, in the NFC South now, you've got the Bucs that are just a hard team to figure, at least. The AFC South, it's the Texans and nobody else right now.
That's right.
And it's not because the Texans are such a shining example.
It's a bad division.
That's how bad the AFC South is.
A bad division with bad quarterbacks. And to your point, Seth, with the point you just made about the point differential they have with the Falcons and the Seahawks kind of in that neighborhood, whereas earlier in the year in rankings like this, and we'll get to the other three in a second, they were living next door to teams like the Ravens and the Bills.
Yeah,
Chiefs, 49ers, they were up among teams like that, Packers, teams like that. They are sandwiched in between. These are the two teams on either side of the Texans in this power ranking. Cardinals 12, Falcons 13, Texans 14, Broncos 15.
Oh, Sean Payton, don't do this to me.
Bengals 16, and I'll throw the Seahawks in there just because you mentioned them. They're 17. So you're living in an okay neighborhood. It's an okay neighborhood, you know, like
right.
It's, you know, not everybody's got a swimming pool and you know, there's a lot of a lot more cars parked on the street instead of in their driveways and things like that. You know, it's houses are smaller. Not a horrible neighborhood, but it ain't like you're living where the Steelers are now. The Steelers used to be living in this neighborhood earlier. The Steelers are living, they're living in River Oaks now, man. They got the Ravens and the Bills and the Lions right next to them here in the rankings. So
I think the Broncos, so the difference between, say, the Texans and the Broncos right now is that the Broncos have their upcoming stretch. Who are they now? Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Bengals. The Bengals are 4-6, and they're right below the Broncos in this power ranking. Yeah. The Bengals play, I think it's the Chargers and the Steelers coming up, mm-hmm. whereas the Texans have the Cowboys and the Titans.
Yeah.
So, all right, if you are better than the mediocre team that you look like in a lot of ways, if you get Nico Collins, if you get Will Anderson back, if the Texans are genuinely better than a middling NFL team, then you better do your work versus these two fraud teams that you're about to face.
Yeah,
whereas the Bengals are 4-6, probably the best 4-6 team that there is out there. They've got a really tough test coming up in the next couple
weeks. Texans are the team that they think they can be. And honestly, like, I think they can be. I don't know. I think the ceiling is still fairly high for this team if they get some things fixed and get some guys back. You should be a top 10 team in these rankings by Thanksgiving. You win your next two games. You should beat the Cowboys and the Titans. No question to me. All right, next one. Number three. Number four was CBSSports.com. Number three, ESPN.com. They have the Texans, Seth, 13th. And their category this week is non-QB MVP.
Ooh.
They're non-QB. This is DJ Bienname writes this.
Okay, let me make a guess.
Yeah.
So, in my mind, there would be three candidates.
Mm-hmm.
There would be Will Anderson,
yep.
Nico Collins, okay. but he's missed four games, and Joe Mixon. So, I'm going to go with... And Will Anderson, it's offset a little bit when it comes to like MVP for the team because he and Danielle Hunter is such a good combo, 1-2 punch.
Yep.
So, I'm going to guess it's Joe Mixon.
It's Joe Mixon. Good job.
There you go. Me and DJ Bienname.
Yeah, look
on
at
the
you
same
guys.
Wavelength.
Simpatico. He says this, Mixon has helped the Texans' offense through its passing attack struggles without Diggs and Nico Collins. Mixon is averaging 93.6 rushing yards. I hate that about that last game. It put him under 100 yards per game now. Still third most in the NFL, helping to keep the offense in decent shape. Sixth in rushing touchdowns despite playing only seven games. He's sixth in rushing touchdowns. Houston should get Nico back, who led the league in receiving before his injury. Mixon's production should only get better once Collins returns. I would pick Nico as the non-QB MVP, and I would point to how well he played in the five games that he played in, leading the league. He was leading the league in receiving yards still, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 2 weeks after he was out. Week seven, he had been out for most of the Bills game and all of the Patriots game and was still leading the league in receiving yards. I would also point to the fact that the offense has been a mess since Nico was gone. It's almost like one of those MVP votes that you feel how valuable the guy is in not being. Like in 2011, when Peyton Manning went out with a neck injury and all of a sudden the Colts went to crap, people are like, man, I'd vote for Peyton Manning for MVP right now. Like, look how valuable he is to the Colts. They stink. They're going to be picking first in the draft.
So I want to say he was flirting with the top 10 even going into last week, with obviously – no way to do anything about it. He's the 18th leading receiver in the NFL right now after missing almost half the games. Yeah. So if he wanted to get back up into the top 10, understanding that these other receivers above him or most of them are going to play this week right now, he's got 567 yards right now. CeeDee Lamb has 681 yards, and he's seventh in the league in receiving.
Okay.
If Nico went off and had like a 200-yard game against the Cowboys, which is very conceivable, that's not a pie-in-the-sky notion or something, he could loft himself back up into the top seven or eight pretty quickly.
Yes.
And then it'd be fun.
Yep, would be fun. All right, second power ranking.
If he does it all in the first quarter and then the offense doesn't do anything for the rest of the game, it's not going to feel
any better
than
we feel right now. That'd be on brand, actually. That's the chalk. Power ranking of the power ranking. So CBS fourth, ESPN third, second place, SI.com, who also has the Texans at 13th on their board. And they say this, it's cliche to say we're about to learn a lot about Houston as a team, but here we have a juxtaposition.
Ooh,
big word. Detroit has already been through the suck. DeMeco Ryan's coached up a first-year team into a first-round playoff victory, but now their proverbial suck has arrived. Since October 20th, C.J. Stroud hasn't posted a QB rating over 100. Wow. I got to stop for a second. It's been
since when?
October, since the Green Bay game.
Okay.
He has a 2-to-2 touchdown to interception ratio since then, and he's been sacked 18 times since then. Not even close to all of this is on his plate, but the salad days for the Texans are over.
The salad days are over. People amongst the fan base are starting to point their eyes, their scope at DeMeco Ryans himself. DeMeco's starting to get more criticism than they ever have. I'm glad they brought up the Detroit Lions because, yeah, the Lions are a year or two ahead of the Texans in their rebuild or redevelopment or resurgence, whatever you want to call it. But it was less than a year ago that Dan Campbell had people parked outside of his house protesting him while his daughter was at home alone, to the point where Dan Campbell had to move this offseason because he doesn't like people knowing where he lives. So it's welcome to the club, DeMeco. It's even if you guys get the ship righted and start to look more like you would, this is the life of an NFL coach in 2024.
Yeah, no doubt. And making the playoffs last year, that amps up expectations. I think all the time about that play in the Indianapolis game at the end of the year, that fourth down play that Tyler Goodson dropped, and think to myself, if he catches that, there's a good chance Indianapolis goes on to win that game. And then it's Indy in the playoffs, not the Texans. Right. The Texans are 9-8. And who knows if now a lot of the world could change then. Like, who knows if Danielle Hunter even wants to come here, because then there's no Cleveland game in the playoffs for him to go to and go, wow, this could be fun. You know, does Diggs want to come here? Do they make the move? There's all these things. But the fact of the matter is, making the playoffs, winning a playoff game, and then making all these moves set the expectations up here.
Right. You know? There was times during the offseason where I thought, man, in the grand scheme of things, it might have been a lot better if the Texans hadn't won that game against Indianapolis, just because it did. It put everything, and then they had the game that they did versus the Browns, and that's where the enthusiasm, not just in Houston but elsewhere, really picked up for them, to the point where, I mean, people almost forgot about the fact that they completely just didn't show up versus the Ravens in the playoffs. Yeah. You know, I in terms of tempering expectations or having a realistic view of where the Texans were, maybe you got to remind yourself, yeah, that they could have easily lost to Gardner Minshew.
Yes.
And meanwhile, for the die had already been cast for the Colts. The Colts probably be better off this year with Gardner Minshew as their quarterback.
No doubt.
But there was no way they were going to do that, obviously, with a young Anthony Richardson on the roster.
Nope. And now they've got the version of Joe Flacco that was playing in that playoff game for Cleveland last year.
That part of it's fun.
That is fun. All right, last one. Number one, power ranking of the power rankings, The Athletic, who also has the Texans 13th. Why am I picking The Athletic? Their font is... I like their font. It's easy to read on my eyes.
Yeah. Times New Roman, like the publication.
Baby. I do.
The tiebreaker was the value of the publication.
I do.
To you.
I pay a lot for it, man. We all do. But it's worth it. I love The Athletic.
And even though the New York Times has taken, you know, multiple shots to the chin over the last 10 years or so, self-inflicted, and they're not what they used to be, there's a snobby part of you that likes that they're owned by the New York Times because you feel like you're an intellectual.
Probably. Yeah. I hadn't realized that, but then you pointed out to me.
You
that's
do. You're
true.
Like, yeah, you look down on people that don't read the Athletic or the New York Times.
That's true. Okay, let me read the this is the blurb they have about the Texans in here. The category they have in the Athletic for like the topic this week: QB confidence rating.
Okay.
All right, so I don't know if you're looking at this. What do you think, and this is on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think the QB confidence rating is from The Athletic on CJ Stroud?
How is it rated? Like, what's the scale?
1 to 10, I'm pretty sure.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Is it short-term confidence or long-term confidence?
QB confidence rating.
Short term, I'm at a 4. Okay. Long term, I'm at a 9. So okay. I'll split the difference and I'll say that they said, but 6 is too low. 7, 8. But now the Athletic has still had CJ as like their second ranked quarterback.
Give me a number, man.
Hey, you sprung this on me, boss. 8.
It's seven. I thought you were right. You were right on track to pick seven. It's They have seven. What's your confidence?
I thought you wanted it to be like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where they encourage the contestants to kind of think out loud.
To talk it through.
Builds suspense. We're up again.
They don't have a hard out, though. Like, we not a hard out, but whatever. Seven is what
they
have.
I've got a hard out for Regis.
Even Reggie's laughing in the other room right now.
Did he die?
Reggie? No, Reggie's right there. He's
no Regis.
Oh yeah, Regis. Yeah, no Regis.
Did he die? Regis died.
Regis died. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Regis
okay.
died. Yeah, yeah. No, Regis. Notre Dame alum, Regis Philbin.
That's right.
R.I.P.
And his
man.
Daughter, who dated Farragher.
Who dated? That's right. JJ.
For
yeah.
like 3 years in college.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. CJ, this is what they say about CJ Stroud in The Athletic. CJ Stroud's season now officially qualifies as a sophomore slump. Ooh, there's a topic.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad they said that. I was wondering if this was the sophomore slump week, and it was.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Everybody's been tiptoeing around it, trying to,
not
like,
the
like
athletic.
I don't know, is it a sophomore
That's
slump?
Why they're number one. he had a 60...
That's why they're the old Dame of sports discussion.
He had a 64.2 passer rating and threw two interceptions Sunday night. And lost despite a 5-interception game from Jared Goff. Stroud is 24th in EPA per dropback. That's expected points added. It's in advanced analytics. As a rookie, he finished 6th. So there's your context. Who cares what it means? He was 6th as a rookie, and he's 24th now in a stat that, you know, 6 is really, really good.
Dude, you roll into it, yeah.
Houston's lost 2 in a row and 3 out of its last 4.
Yeah, so EPA is the standard going currency for the stat nerd type.
It is.
You walk into a party with a whole bunch of EPAs, and those nerds are throwing themselves at you.
Oh,
and right now,
it.
CJ doesn't have that sweet, sweet stank of a high EPA.
He does not. He does not. QB confidence rating of 7, though. So that's about where I am with CJ. I think a lot of CJ's issues are CJ's got his own issues. Those two picks were bad. Those were on him.
Yeah.
But I think the pass protection the last month or so has done some damage, man.
And I don't – look, I'll make excuses for the Nico Collins absence if I say, hypothetically, if you take Tyreek Hill away from a young Pat Mahomes, it's a whole different scenario.
Yeah.
You know, and CJ – my confidence meter for CJ long term is a 10.
Yes.
I think I'm going to be glad that he's kind of going through what he is right now, because this is where you really learn how to be a quarterback when you have to deal with all this adversity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more bullish than your elitist pals.
I Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Hey, speaking of the win is a win mentality, we just got done talking about the point differential for the Texans, and oh man, they're winning all these close games. I think Joe Mixon spoke for the fan base in the locker room following the game on Sunday night. We'll hear from Joe Mixon coming up next.